We get started here today and we look at this portion of Scripture today at 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3. The Apostle Paul had to leave Thessalonica in a hurry because there was persecution that was taking place. But he developed a deep love for these believers. As I studied this and went through this, it's interesting that most of the commentators that I saw were focused in a certain direction, and yet when I read it, I saw just the opposite, another direction that's found in the same chapter. Most of them looked at Paul's heart as an apostle and how he loved these people, and I think it's very, very obvious and it's very, very true. But as I looked at this and studied, I said, well, what about the people themselves? And as I began to read this and study it, all of a sudden it became very obvious what he had to say about the people, about the church itself, and what was going on. Remember, this is probably the second letter. The first letter was to the church of Galatia. But then there was Thessalonica. And this is a new church. This is a young church. This is an early church. And what did he have to say to this church to encourage these believers in their walk with God? Now, as we stop and we look at this here, I said, our faith. I put it up there, and this is just, I just said, our faith. What is our faith as a church? What's going on? Okay, let's see here. My clicker is not clicking, maybe it'll go the other direction. There we go. It doesn't work when I shoot it this way. Okay, there we go. There we go, Richard. It happens to all of us, so. Okay, our faith. And as you look at this, five times the word faith is found in this chapter. And I found that to be really, really important. Now, what is it here about faith that we're talking about? There's a lot of different concepts today about faith. And we look at, as church, as a group of believers, we think of saving faith. And that's what gets us connected with God when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But Paul's not talking about that here. He's talking about a living faith. He's talking about, you say you believe this, so let's live it out. Let me share something with you. I just found out and realized how we can change and make a big difference in the healthcare system in America today. Because I believe this, point number one is this. I believe that an apple a day will keep the doctor away. All right. Okay, I thought that would work out well. Okay. So an apple a day will keep the doctor away. That means you don't have to go to the doctor, and it helps the economy in this part of the country. Apples, okay? Number two, with apples, there's apple cider. And I found out, and I thought about this, a gallon a day will keep the diseases away. A gallon a day will keep the diseases away. So we've got this other thing now. We don't have to go to the doctor anymore, and the diseases are taken care of because we drink apple cider, a gallon a day. Think about that. But there's one last thing about apples, and it's apple pie. Oh, yeah. And what did I find out about an apple pie? Is an apple pie a day will make you fat. That's all I can say. Okay? An apple pie a day will make you fat. Therefore, we have now talked about changing the healthcare situation in America. But if I said this was a new basis of belief and a new source of belief, what would you say to me if I didn't eat an apple a day? You don't believe it. What would you say to me if I didn't drink a gallon of cider a day? You don't trust it. You don't believe it. Let's think about our faith in Jesus Christ. And what do we do or what don't we do that says to a people and a world around us, it's real or it's not? It's real or it's not? And what Paul was doing at the church of Thessalonica, because he had to be taken away quickly because of persecution, he was wondering, you know, and what's going on there with those people? What's taking place with those people? What's happening to their trust and their practice of faith? And so as I was, you know, there's so many definitions that are out there in regards to the idea of faith, and there's so many good ones, and I don't try to be original, but I just thought this way today, faith is the practice of what we say we believe or trust in. This faith that we're talking about today is the practice of what we say we believe or trust in. Some of the newer theologians out there today have taken the word faith and they've actually substituted the word trust. Because you can believe in something, but it doesn't change your outlook. You can believe an apple a day will keep the doctor away, but you may not ever eat an apple. And if you don't eat an apple, you're not trusting what you say you believe. You know, I really can believe that if I eat an apple pie a day, I will be fat. That's bottom line, and we know that. Okay. But for us to stop and to realize that faith here, as he's talking to these believers here, they've already been saved. They already came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And now it was the living out. It was the trusting of what they had been told by Paul would take place in their lives. So I put it this way, the practice of what we say we believe or trust in. Or trust in. And so as we begin to look at this portion of Scripture here today, and this, you know, I look at my watch and say, can I get through a chapter of Scripture in one setting? We'll see. Let's go. All right, so Paul starts and he says this, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone. So Paul's saying, I'm going to send some people towards you. I'll stay in Athens alone. And he sent Timothy, the brother, the minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And I think that's the important thing as he's talking to these believers here. What is it about our faith that's got to realize? We've got to think about. We've got to say, you know, this has got to be the, you know, a change in. I believe in God and I believe in Jesus Christ, but what is it about that belief that causes me to respond and be different? And what we find here, first of all, as I put some of these thoughts as I went through today here, number one is this, our faith needs to be, in verses 1 and 2, strengthened from the word established and encouraged. Our faith needs to be strengthened from the word established and encouraged. The word there for strengthen from the original languages is like to build a bulwark against it. I heard a couple weeks ago, you heard about the flooding in California and that one dam out there that they were trying to make sure it didn't collapse, and they were trying to shore it up, and rocks were being dropped into place to kind of hold back the floodwaters. That was the concept that was being said by this word here. When Paul talked to them about sending Timothy, he said, your faith needs to be strengthened. He says that to all of us because none of us ever get to the point this side of heaven having perfect faith. Every one of us in our lives requires a strengthening of our faith. And so Paul said to Timothy, and he said to Timothy, go and strengthen their faith. Set a bulwark up if you need to. Set some buttresses up. Set something up so instead of them being a little bit wishy-washy, a little bit, what's going to happen here? They're firm. They're solid. And when Paul was writing this, and for us to understand this, this life that we live requires strengthening. We'll never get to a point that we stop and say, okay, I've got it all together. We need that strengthening from those around us. Number two, we need the encouragement that's necessary. In verse number two, to establish you and to comfort, the word there is parakaleo, it's the word that's used also of the Holy Spirit. It means to call alongside of, it means to bring comfort to you concerning your faith. In our faith, there comes points and times where people have to step up and say, hey, here's how you got to look at it. You've got to stand strong here, and here's how you got to see it, because this is what the Word of God has to say. But then there comes a time when you just need somebody to come up alongside and say, hey, I'm here for you. That's all. You know, I'm a guy that likes to fix it. And I've learned through the years, but I'm still learning through the years, that when my wife talks to me sometimes, all she needs is somebody to listen. Just to say, it's all right. Because what's my mind, she starts talking to me, and I'm still learning, we're all learning, that when she starts talking, my mind said, okay, I know how to fix this right now. Here's the verse, here's the scripture, think this way, it'll all be good. And you know what, she knows as much of the Word of God as much as I do, I think, sometimes. But sometimes we just need somebody to come along and just say, hey, I'm here to listen. Because they know the answers. All of us will be tested in our faith. We'll see that in just a moment. All of us will be tested in our faith as time goes on. And many of us know the answers. We don't need anybody to rehash the answers to us. We just need somebody to come along and say, hey, we'll get through this. And that's exactly what Paul did with Timothy when he sent Timothy to that church. You and I in our faith, that practice of the things that we do each and every day sometimes needs to be bolstered up. It needs to be strengthened because you know what? Our faith is going to be challenged in this day in which we live. As I saw this past week, and a guy wrote a book, and he said, this generation right now, this millennial generation, up from like 24 to age 35, has truly walked away from what we consider to be the Word of God and beliefs about God. So how do we deal with that? How do we talk? Well, you know, one thing, some of them are willing to listen. So we have to come back to those things and think about it again. But, you know, our faith is going to be challenged. And as a church, as a body of believers, our faith will be challenged. Sometimes we need to be strengthened. There are other times we just need somebody to come along and encourage us. As we turn around and we live this idea of what we say, we believe. And so Paul sends Timothy, and our faith then, we have to understand this. Every one of us in this room here, there comes a point in time, our faith needs to be strengthened. Our faith needs to be encouraged. There have been times in my ministry here, I just said a couple of, you know, call some guys together and say, guys, I just need somebody to pray with me right now. I need to be strengthened. I need to be encouraged. And so it is with all of us in our lives. That's faith. That's the walk of faith. And we'll never get there completely until we get to glory. And we see that at the very end of the chapter. Number two, our faith will be tested. Our faith will be tested. Verse number 3, 4, and 5. And he says this. He says, concerning your faith, he says, now that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Isn't that an interesting statement that Paul makes? The idea of being appointed to, you and I are destined to experience pressure. Affliction there is the squeezing. It's the idea of the press of the olives or the press of, excuse me, of the grapes. The pressure is put on, the squeezing, and the juice comes out. We go back to our healthcare system, it's making cider. All right, it's the squeezing of the apples until the juice comes out. And what happens here is our faith will be tested as we look at this here, and he says this, because you've been appointed to that. There are times that God in His providence and His plan takes us through the fire, takes us through the valley, takes us through deep waters. Verse 4, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that you would suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know it. For this cause, when I could no longer bear it, I couldn't take it any longer, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be not in vain. Paul's pretty explicit here. Paul's pretty bold with this, and it's not the popular thought that's around or out there, but it's the biblical thought that there are times in our life when we will go through that squeezing by circumstances, number one. By circumstances. And that's what he says there. This idea of affliction, this idea of tribulation, is carrying this idea of being squeezed in, to be pressured in. There are things that happen in all of our lives that maybe sometimes other people don't even know about that test our faith. Those moments in our lives where we stop and say, God, where are you? Those moments when we sense that emptiness, when we're going through the valley, when we're going through deep waters, when life seems to fall apart, And there's more bills than there is money. There's loss of friends and family and loved ones. And by our circumstances and by the circumstances of the life that we live and the world in which we live, we can experience this testing. They found out there when they followed after God that society around them didn't like it. And there was a riot that took place in Thessalonica after Paul left, and it took Jason. We saw that in Acts chapter 17 earlier. And we saw that they took Jason out and he held him for kind of, you want to say, ransom or for insurance that Paul would never come back to that city again. Why? They got mad because the gospel was being preached and it was affecting their economy in regards to the paganism of that day. And so circumstances themselves will bring pressure. I read this past week, the Voice of the Martyrs, their magazine came out this past week, and I sat down to read an article, and I couldn't put the thing down until I read through the whole thing this past week, because it talked about the Christians on the border of North Korea and China, and how they're trying to help one another, and how this one pastor had been warned that the government officials are watching you. Be very, very careful. And how that as he was being careful about his routine and the things he was doing every day and always making sure there was somebody with him, one moment, all of a sudden he got a call and he left his area quickly by himself and he never came home that night. And he was murdered. And those circumstances that press us down because of our faith, that's happening in the world around us. And again, on that border between China and North Korea, that's something that's taking place up there. When North Korea was going through their big famine, people were trying to jump the border into China to try to get some food and try to find something to sustain their lives. And Christians on that border were trying to help. And if he started to help, the Chinese were mad at them. And then the North Koreans would get mad at them. And it was just a real turmoil there. Because of following faith. And sometimes when we follow our faith and we do what God has asked us to do, it's going to require maybe some testing and some stretching. Number two, our faith will be tested by our circumstances. Number two, it will be tested by Satan. Our faith will be tested by Satan. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, go back and think of maybe the time that you did and accepted Christ as your Savior and the days that followed. What went through your mind? For kids, you know, as a little kid, it's kind of like, all right, this is cool, I know, and I'm going to be with mom and dad and stuff. But you know, as an adult, you begin to think more seriously of these things, and all of a sudden, you get these thoughts of, what do you mean? You were all right before. What do you mean? Accepting Christ as your Savior. Everything was going good. And all of a sudden, well, and the questions start to kind of come into your mind. Because of the faith that you put yourself into and believing and following Jesus Christ, there are doubts. Well maybe will I get to heaven or not? And then people, I've been too bad. And what happens, our faith is tested. Our practice is tested in regards to those thoughts, and Satan and his minions put those thoughts in our mind to cause us to doubt and to cause us to fear. And for you and I to understand, when we stop and say we are going to follow Jesus Christ and follow Him solely and wholly, what's going to happen here is that Satan is going to work against us. And our faith will be tested by the doubts that he puts into our mind, by the fears that he puts into our mind. Paul says here, should be moved by affliction. We were with you and we told you you would suffer tribulation. And this cause I can no longer forbear, and I was afraid that Satan was going to tempt you. It kind of takes us back to the idea of the parable of the seed and the sower. In Mark chapter 4:15, it says, and these are they which by the wayside, the seed by the wayside, when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And there's other seed, and these are they that likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterwards when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are falling away or offended. And when Paul was writing to this church here, and he's heard about their affliction, he heard about their tribulation, he heard about their stress, and all of a sudden this pressure from the world came around them, he was wondering, are they remaining faithful? Are they remaining true and trusting to what they say they believe and what I shared with them? Understand the same for us. Our lives and our faith will be tested. It will be tested. It's a promise of Scripture. It's not tested 24/7. It's not tested, you know, from now until you die, because none of us could hold up under that. But there are times in our lives that we go through those periods of testing, those periods of stretching in our lives, and those periods of saying, okay, God, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I'll trust you. I don't know what you're going to do next in the life of that person, but I will trust you. I don't know what's going to happen in regards to the finances, but I will trust you. And as we see this in our lives, we got to keep this. Paul's writing to these people, and he's sharing this with these people, and he's concerned about that for those people. And you know what? It's the same thing for us today, for each of us in this room here as we think about it. So will we be tested? We'll be tested by Satan. We'll be tested by the circumstances around us in regards to our faith. Paul was saying he wanted to do that so that their labor would not be in vain. He was concerned. He said the word labor there is one of those to work to the point of exhaustion. To work to the point of exhaustion. You can't move it one more foot. You can't go one more. And Paul was saying, I work to exhaustion. And he was concerned about the faith, the continuing faith of these people. And so Paul was writing this to these people at this time. And he's saying to that church, he says, hey, church, what about your faith? What about your faith? So we go on. And as we go on to the next section here, we see something else. Faith will produce manifests other godly characteristics. When we say that we are people of faith, it doesn't stop there. And what's he say here in this next verse here about the godly characteristics, verse number 6? But now, when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and love or charity, that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Faith in our lives, when we stop and we say that we are people of faith, and we say, I believe God and I believe in His Son Jesus Christ, there's going to be other things that are going to be developed in our lives because of that act of faith. And the thing that He puts here, first of all, is love. Why love? Well, number one, there's a lot of enemies around you, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, love your enemies. You can say, I believe, and then all of a sudden now I have to start to trust. And the trust is, it says, I'm supposed to do good to those who don't like me, and those who say bad things about me, I'm supposed to love them. Because of my faith and your faith, there should be the development of other godly characteristics within our lives. I wanted to put some thoughts up here very quickly, and I'm not going to take time to dwell on each one of these this morning, except to put it up there. But what about faith? Faith is coupled with certain things in the New Testament. And I want you to see these here this morning. Faith and love, number one. And I put faith and. Faith and what's the and for? Well, let's go here this morning. Faith and what do we see in the Scriptures about this? Number one is this, faith and power. Faith and power. You don't have that on your outline. You can put it there. It's free for nothing. But this is talking about Stephen. And when Stephen was there before he got stoned by the and martyred for his faith, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Our faith can produce a sense of power in our lives. Not that we can do the miracles and things of that sort, but the fact that there can be a boldness, there can be a confidence, there can be sharing of our faith with somebody else who accepts the miracle of salvation itself and God working in their lives. And that's the miracles we see nowadays. God working in people's lives. And so we find Stephen was full of faith and power. Number two, we're full of faith and speech and knowledge and diligence. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and speech or utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love, we already had that to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Faith is combined with the idea of what we say. What we say. What is the fastest way for anybody to know what you believe? Open your mouth. And what you respond to and how you respond to it and what they hear with their ears will be one of the fastest ways that people can begin to ascertain what is this person of faith all about. Our speech. Our speech. And so what happens when we become people of faith and we start to live it out, our speech changes. Our knowledge increases in the things of God. Our diligence and sticking to things increases also. And so when we see this faith and power, faith and speech, knowledge and diligence, number three, faith and a labor of love and a patience of hope. This is found in the same book, 1 Thessalonians. But our faith, when we have faith, our labor will be of love. It won't be begrudgingly. We won't be doing things because, okay, I'll do it again. But we'll do it because we love. But then there's this patience, this bearing up under hope, because of hope. Faith is combined with hope. What do we have? We'll see at the end of this chapter here. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. That's our hope. That's our hope. And what keeps us going in our faith is that we have a hope that says, you know what? What's happening right now is not the end of the story. This past week, I saw a statement out there, and it says, or an article, it said about Islam is not to be feared. And the reason why they wrote that is said to Christians was this: we know the end of the story. Who wins? God. Who wins? Jesus Christ. Now, I think there is some fear. I saw this past week in one of the sites I came across a woman in Saudi Arabia. At Mecca. And she was there, and her husband accused her of killing their 7-year-old child. Right on the streets, in front of the police, they beheaded her. But God wins. God wins. Don't know what happened with her, don't know anything about her faith or anything of that sort, but it was right on, and police were standing around, but the clerics, because of the husband's judgment, they beheaded her right on the street in Saudi Arabia. God wins. And our patience of hope, God won. And so faith, and he says, I see your faith, I see your love, but faith in itself produces other characteristics in our lives that should be evident and obvious to the world around us. What do we see next? Faith and a good conscience, 1 Timothy 1, verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some put away concerning the faith. They made shipwreck of their faith. What does faith do? Faith helps us in our thinking, in our process, the processing of thoughts and ideas, and it gives us a good conscience, a clear conscience before God. Not that we're perfect, but that we're forgiven. And because we're forgiven, our conscience is clear before God, and the guilt has been removed, and we've been forgiven by God and through our Savior Jesus Christ. And faith is found with a good conscience. What we find else? Faith and a good doctrine. Faith and good doctrine. There's a lot of false doctrine out there today. And what you and I have as regards to our faith is the very fact that it's a doctrine that we can believe. It's a doctrine that can be trusted. When we go to the Word of God, which becomes the basis of our faith, it'll give us that good teaching that we need to live the life of faith. So faith is coupled with good doctrine. Also, faith and patience. Hebrews 6 and verse number 12. Faith and patience. And it says this, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We do want the Lord to come back. We do want to see Jesus Christ come and just say, okay, it's done. We're in His presence. We're in His glory. But it's not happened yet. We patiently bear up. We patiently endure. Why? Because of the faith that we practice. And what's happening here, it's these thoughts that are there that become obvious to the world out there that there's something about us that's different. There's something about us that's real. There's something about us that's life-giving. There's something that's got hope to it. There's something that's got patience to it. There's something that's got love to it. We're seeing a lot of lack of love in our society today. And Christians ought to be the ones that are loving. And so as we stop and see these thoughts here and see what's going on, faith does create a godly characteristics within our lives as we live. Faith and love and faith and all these other thoughts here. And hope. Finally, 1 Peter 1 and 21. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Hope. A world that's looking for a sense of hope. We see the world thinking, well, maybe this will be the person, or that'll be the person, or this will be the leader, or this will be the program, or this, or whatever. And where's our hope? It's in God. Our hope's in God. You know, we do hope that maybe there'll be some things in America that'll change. But if it doesn't, what's it do to your faith? Are we the ones then with the long faces and the Eeyore attitudes? Woe is me. Or are we the ones that stop and say, you know what? We still know who wins. God. God wins, and I'm with the winning leader. And we will win also. And so faith. Our faith produces these things in our lives. Let's get back here. Our faith may be a source of encouragement for others. Our faith may be a source of encouragement for others. Verses 7, 8, and 9. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted. Or, by some of your Bibles, it may be the word encouraged. Verse number 9. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all, and Paul's saying now, in our affliction and in our distress, we were comforted by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God? Now, when we look at this for a moment here, our faith may be a source of encouragement for others. That's exactly what Paul was saying in verse number 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted. We were encouraged. By what? Your faith. Comforted in the midst of affliction and distress. Joy in the midst of affliction and distress. As Paul was here, and as he's saying, we're comforted over you because in the midst of our affliction and distress, you stand fast in your faith to the Lord. Probably one of the greater discouragements of being in the ministry is to pour your life into people and then watch people walk away from God. And watch people just abandon their faith. This past election, I saw that happen on Facebook to lots and lots of people. And I thought, wow. I knew that child. I knew that person. And why are they writing and posting on their Facebook pages such blasphemous things about our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ? And Paul was saying what kept him going in the midst of the struggles that he was facing in Athens and Corinth and continuing the ministry was the very fact he got a call back from Timothy, and Timothy said, hey, Paul, they're hanging tight. They're hanging in there. And Paul goes, all right, I can keep on going. And the very fact of your faith could be an encouragement to anybody. Somebody that you knew that I don't even know. That you're hanging in there. And it's tough. And you're not abandoning your faith. And you're not walking away from God and from His Word and from God's people. And you're beginning to say, oh God, He's not anywhere to be found. And all of a sudden you begin to put stuff in. And Paul says, what kept him going, what kept him encouraged, what kept him comforted in the midst of his difficulty was to know that there were other people who were staying the course. Each of us in this room here could be that sense of encouragement to somebody else. How God may be using you in your faith walk, in your faith life, to be encouragement to them because they're going through some tough times in their lives. And they're watching you. They made it. Okay, I'll stay with it. And Paul says the same thing here when he looks at the idea of comfort and also the idea of joy. He says, verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God? Remember verse 7? We were comforted in the midst of our distress, in the midst of our affliction, in the midst of the pressure and the squeezing and the stuff that was happening in our lives. We heard that you kept the faith. And because of that, in the midst of what he was dealing with at that moment, at that time, there was a deep, abiding joy in his heart because there were people who were still faithful to what he had labored for earlier. And so with you. And so with me. To realize that this practice of what we say we believe can be a sense of comfort and a sense of joy to others who may be going through the valley, who may be going through the deep waters, who may be going through that testing and that squeezing and that trial, and to realize in the midst of that, you're standing strong, and they stop and say, yes, yes, I can do it too. And these people became an encouragement because of their faith. It brought joy to the Apostle Paul as he continued to live and move and share the things of God. And so for us to keep that in mind, this faith that we have, it's not going to be so much an encouragement to the world as it will be to those within the body. But if you've got hope and you got faith and hope and the world's watching you and they see maybe a smile on your face, they, well, what's wrong with you? You know, everybody should be, No, it's all good. It's all good because God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Our faith is not yet perfect. Our faith is not yet perfect. My faith, your faith, our faith is not yet perfect. Verse number 10. He says, night and day we prayed exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. None of us will have perfect faith till we get to heaven. The word there for perfect is the idea of complete, thoroughly equipped to meet the demands, completely adequate and sufficient to supply that which is missing. And he says, as he says to these people, he says, I wanted to come, and he says, now as I look at it, I pray for you that I might, you might perfect that which is lacking in your faith, which is lacking. And the word there for lacking, you don't see it and you can't understand it in the language, but it's actually in a plural form. It's in a plural form, which means this, that there's more than just one thing lacking in our lives. All right. Don't ever come and stop and say, well, I've got it all under control except one thing. No. We're lacking in a lot of things. But what Paul has to say here is he looked at these people and he wrote to them and he's talking about their faith. He said, for us to stop and realize right now, Don't get discouraged when you don't get it all right. Because the obvious thing is, we're not going to get it all right. And it won't be right till we get to glory. And so that's what the body's all about. The body is to come together because our faith is not yet perfect, and we can continue to mature and complete one another and encourage one another and lift one another up because of the fact that we still need it. And he writes this to that church in Thessalonica, and he writes it to the church in Elk Rapids for us to understand this very thing. You beat yourself up, you get discouraged, and you stop and say, that's, you know what? That's what it's about. We're still growing. He's still working on me. You know the chorus. To make me what I ought to be. All right? He's still doing that. That's our faith. That's our walk. Are we discouraged when we blow it? Yeah, we are. We better be. But you know what? We're not perfect yet. Are we going to have down days? And maybe somebody, well, man, what's wrong with you? Yeah, you know, I'm not there yet. I just need an arm. I just need a little comfort. I just need a little encouragement right now. That's all I need. And for us to understand that our faith yet is not perfect, but it's there, it's maturing, it's growing. These things are to be happening in our lives. And what is lacking? There's probably a lot of things we can put our fingers to and stop and say, oh man, my faith, my practice of what I say I believe, I missed it there today. I came up short there. I thought that. I said that. Oh man, you know what? We're not perfect yet. But we're here for one another, and that's what faith is about. That's what it's all about. And so our faith is not yet perfect. And the last point, our faith doesn't happen without God's help. Our faith doesn't happen without God's help. This is one of these prayers. This is one of these benedictions of Scripture, 11, 12, and 13. I'm getting there, folks. I'm over. Wow. Okay. And it says, now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. So here's this idea of love, faith, and love abound to the end, or for the result that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Paul talks about their faith, but he stops and says, you know what? It doesn't happen until you focus back on God again. It's Him. He calls us, and then He equips us, and He helps us to live out our faith, to live out our faith. It says here, he says, the Lord make you, all right? And the Lord make you to increase and to abound. And as we stop and we think about that, to make you, it's the idea of the Lord clearing the way. The thought of removing the obstacles, getting the things out of our paths to make us to increase and abound in our love and our faith. Ha ha ha. Petey, I need a volunteer. Will you come here? No, I'm in PD, not Pete, PD. Come stand up here, and I want you to hold this cup with two hands right there. Okay? And the Lord make you to increase, and Keith's wondering, what in the world is he up to here? Okay? And the Lord make you to increase and abound. Will you do something? Hold that cup right there. No, hold it up so they can see. Is that cup full or empty? Is it full or empty? Empty? It's empty. All right. So let's see what the Lord wants to do to increase. And the Lord make you to increase, 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 and abound. You can set that down now. Thank you. Here's a dry towel. I appreciate that. That's the thought that he's talked about our faith. Thank you for my faith partner here today. Okay. Increase. But the idea is it's not only to get it to the full mark, it's to get it to the overflow mark. That's what he's saying there. And let the Lord make you. Yes.
From him will flow streams of living water.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I see there.
Good. And that's true. And as you and I look at this and stop and understand this thought here this morning, that's what he's saying here. It's not just filling us up. It's letting it run over. When it comes to our faith, to make us, to remove the obstacles so that we might increase, and not only increase, but abound, to overflow with this walk of faith, with this faith and love for one another, to make us. Number two, to establish us. And this goes back to the very beginning of that this section here again, that the Lord would establish you in verse number 2. It's the idea of building a bulwark. It's the idea of strengthening you and I to get us strong enough so that we're not wavering, we're not wobbling. It's found. Its foundation is there. Boom. That's it. And it's the idea that it's God's help, that the Lord's going to help us to do and get to that level and to establish us unblameable in holiness. The idea of unblameable there is the concept of a charge can't stick. The world will lay charges against us. Do the charges stick or do they fall away? To establish us, to strengthen us, to make us unblameable in holiness. Unblameable in holiness. As you and I stop and we understand what's going on, this holiness is a quality of expression in careful obedience to God. Somebody wrote this, and I just saw it there. A quality of life expressed in careful obedience to God. That's holiness. That we will follow God and we will walk the way He wants us to walk, and we will talk the way He wants us to talk. We will respond in the way He wants us to be tested, under pressure. Now you stop and think about testing for a moment too. And what if somebody came up to you and you're going to have a heart procedure done? And they say to you, I read all the books, I got A's in everything. Have you ever done this? Nope. Have you ever watched it done? Nope. But I saw the pictures in the book. I saw a procedure on the internet. YouTube was a great, you know. No. You know, a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. And that's what happens in all of us when we come back to the idea of testing. A faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. And so we are tested. Kids are tested in school. Do you really know what you're talking about? And so it is with us. And our faith doesn't happen without God's help. What's the big idea? Our faith, a work of God for our sake and others. A work of God for our sake and others. Coming back to the very beginning again with the thoughts that faith is this practice or this putting together and this idea of living out what we say we believe. There is a song that's contemporary today. I want to read the words to you. And it says this, in this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe. We believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. we believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing, and in our weakness and temptations, we believe. And we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, for He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love invade. Let the church live loud. Our God will say, we believe, we believe. And the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe. And believe is faith. And believe is trust. And this day, Paul says, what about your faith? And what about mine? A work of God for our sake and for the sake of others. Let's pray. Father, we do come to you this day, and faith is what we say we are. It's what we say we live out. It's what we say that it makes us who we are and what we do. I pray, Father, that that's true. That's true. Lord, we can in a moment say we trust, we'll never deny, we'll never fail. And then there comes a moment and we hear the rooster crow and we run in shame. And yet, Father, that's not the end of the story. Because you still bring us back to yourself. I thank you, Father, for a faith and a God who accepts us when we fail. And He equips us to do more. And Father, this day, if people in this room are experiencing some testing and some trials in their life, Father, strengthen their faith. Strengthen their resolve, their walk with you. So in the midst of the testing, in the midst of the trial, your name is exalted, your name is lifted up. If for no other reason, help us to see yet forward, you're coming back again. And so we'll live our faith. Father, maybe there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. They don't have saving faith yet. A belief in what your Son did on the cross of Calvary, dying and being raised again so that mankind might have salvation. And Father, I just pray if there's someone like that, they'll respond to these words today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. To know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is what it's all about. That's faith. And as we're here today, do you know Him? Do you know if you died, the next place you would wake up is heaven? And if you're not sure of that, then we want to make sure that you do know. Anyone like that, just slip your hand up and put it down very quickly, very quietly. Believers, and myself included, these are strong words and sometimes difficult words to live. And yet our faith should be what defines us. Not the number of rules and regulations and the do's and the don'ts and we do this or that, but the fact there's a relationship with the God of the universe that changes us from the inside out. Make that your faith. Make that your faith. Maybe this morning you're being squeezed, being tested, you're being tempted, and you just say, Pastor, pray for me today. You slip your hand up and put it down. I won't mention you by name, but anybody like that in this room, that right now you feel like the pressure is on you, anybody like that? It's a hand. Another. Father, we come before you this day, and you know our hearts, you know our room, you know the people that are here. And Lord, there are some here right now that are feeling like that the pressure is on. They feel like they're being stretched, they're being squeezed, they're being tested. Oh, Father, make your presence real in their lives at this very moment. Encourage their hearts. And Father, may we be an encouragement to them also. And so this day, Father, we thank you that you have saved us. And now we ask you that you help us to live for you, to live our faith out before our lost and dying world. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.